This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
As many of you know, we cover a lot of different topics, a lot of different types of interviews. Today, though, quite obvious that we need to place our focus on the fire situation in the area and some of the impacts. We're going to do that two different ways. Lieutenant Brad O'Dell of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office will be in our second segment. He'll talk about evacuations and other things there that you need to know from the law enforcement side, what help is available there. Jim Gershbach is out at the fire camp for the Tai Complex. It's out in Umpqua. He's normally with the Oregon Department of Forestry up in the Salem area. Jim, thanks for being on with us this afternoon. And let's press this button over here. There we go. Now I have you.
Happy to be here, Kyle.
So give us kind of a review of the situation at the Tai Complex right now.
So we've been over the weekend adding tremendous number of resources coming in from around the state to help with fighting this fire. We're in both the Oregon Department of Forest as well as the Oregon State Fire Marshal are in unified command. So we're bringing in both structural protection forces that have been in place to protect those homes that are threatened by the fires. This is actually a complex of quite a few fires, some of which have kind of grown together. So the big ones that we're facing that probably most people are interested in the complex are the Cougar Creek fire, which is kind of heading back down toward Hubbard Creek and the homes along Hubbard Creek Road. And then some of the Lighthouse fire as it is up on the Tai Mountain, if you know that area kind of a bit north of the Umpqua there. So those are the kind of the two ones that have gotten the most attention. There are a number of other fires, and we've been throwing a lot of resources at both of those over the weekend. And then today, a little bit cooler weather, a little better humidity has helped our firefighters as they start to bring in more dozers to build dozer line to contain those fires. We've made some good progress on the up in the north end of the complex. The Big Tom fire has been fully lined, meaning we've got containment lines dug around that already. And pretty good hand and dozer line combinations on the Hardscrabble and the Tai Mountain fire. So we're encouraged on those. We expect to have more work done on those lines, kind of building on the progress from last night. We have had smoky conditions, but when it's safe for them to fly, we've had 12 helicopters dropping water on the fire. They did so yesterday until light kind of gave out on them, dropping on a kind of a fire that had spilled over a ridge, putting water on that to kind of contain that. So lots of air activity and lots of activity on the ground as well.
Now, I understand this incident, this complex, is one of the big priorities for firefighters around the entire region.
We understand. Obviously, all fires are important. But where there's a lot of complexity and there's a lot of homes at risk, that's sort of how we can evaluate where the priorities are when there's people's, you know, homes and residences are threatened. And there's quite a few along there that are currently in an evacuation status that we want to make sure those are protected. That's why we have the Oregon Fire Marshal resources there. They're experts and professionals in home protections. And so we work together. We work on the ODF side with other resources, private contractors and others, to get in there and stop the forward progression of these wildfires. And then they work to make sure that if stray spot fires from embers and things land near those homes, that they have an ability to protect those homes. So kind of working in combination to keep those homes. We have not lost a single home yet, and they're working very hard to make sure that that continues to be the good track record we've had. They are challenging conditions, steep terrain. Sometimes, you know, you get bits of falling, burning debris can roll down. So that has occasionally crossed our lines, and we've quickly moved to pounce on those fires. All this at the same time is putting out freeing up the Douglas Forest Protective Association to deal with new fire starts that they may occur around around the county. So kind of local and state resources or statewide resources coming together to really keep fire at bay here in Douglas County.
Well, I was out there Saturday briefly, and as I headed out towards Oakland after that via Sutherland, saw a lot of rigs coming in from around the state. And I understand we have folks coming in from out of state now as well.
Yeah, I don't have the particulars because I know I've seen rigs from a number of places. We did get some hotshot crew, or at least I believe they were the Ruby Mountain hotshot crew. I'm not 100% sure if that's the only one here, but U.S. Forest Service has contributed some hotshots because of that steep terrain. It's good to have people that are used to fighting fires in those kind of difficult, more backcountry kind of situations. So we're glad to welcome them to the fight. And we will be, as I said, trying to join up these lines and extend them as best we can to tighten down, kind of put a noose around those fires.
I know that part of the area that the complex is in is where there's a lot of damage from what we around here called a snowpocalypse event a few years ago, where we got a ton of snow in the area that downed a lot of trees. And I understand that's quite the challenge dealing with that stuff now.
Well, any downed, obviously when something's dead and dries out, it's been a few years now since that event, that downed dry wood can be a problem in standing snags as well. If they're not on the ground and still standing but have died or have broken branches that have died but still clinging to the trees, any of that catching fire maybe from embers can torch. There has been some torching on some of the fires where a tree has gone up, and that always, creates a little bit of excitement, for firefighters out there. So we are aware. We're telling all of the folks out there fighting the fires to be aware of those hazards. And but certainly dry fuel. This is a very dry time of year, as you know. Even without extreme air temperatures, the dryness of the fuel is contributing to active fire behavior in this complex.
I'm always fascinated, even as long as I've been covering news around here, about just how quickly the logistics come together to essentially create a miniature city and provide everything the firefighters need out there at Umpqua. How's that going?
Well, you're right. We have moved quickly to bring resources in as soon as they could get here, and the fire camp was literally created out of the bare field, and now we've got set up, for the infrastructure to support those firefighters. They work long and hard out, fighting the fire. When they come back, they need to be fed, showered, have information, restrooms, things like that. So there's been a big push. That's where a lot of the infrastructure that rolls in as well to support them has been coming in. There are close to 700, something like that. It's been going up and growing since yesterday. We kind of had a report from early this morning of about 656 firefighters. I'm probably sure that's been growing over the day. And we'll have a more precise number tonight when we hold our community meeting for folks, which I wanted to mention at Douglas, here in Douglas County. We're going to be at the Roseburg Country Club at 5051 Garden Valley Road from 7 o'clock to about 8, or until questions, opportunity for people to give their one-on-one questions to our fire managers after hearing kind of a fire status update. It's kind of a way for all of the different entities here in Douglas County that people might have questions for. We're going to have emergency management. We're going to have folks from Douglas County Public Health, as well as both the incident commanders and the operations managers for both ODF and the Oregon Fire Marshal.
Yeah.
Real
important for people to have that opportunity to hear from you folks directly and to know what the challenges are and, what might be ahead.
Absolutely. And, with these community meetings are a chance for people to hear what's going on. Actually, we're going to have several maps that kind of pinpoint locations of where the fires are. As you know, it's a big complex, so there's fires in a few different locations. So trying to give people that visual, that's where my house is. Where is it in relation to the fire? That's a big question we get a lot of times. So we'll have those maps up so that people can kind of find, I live here. Where's the closest evacuation zone to where I live? Where is the fire? What's happening between me and where the fire is now? Those are what we expect to answer all those type of questions, as well as the folks from Douglas County who are here to provide information on things that you're going to hear later on in this broadcast about evacuations and public health risks and things like that.
All right, Jim Gershbach from the fire camp for the Tyee Complex. Jim, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
12:46 in just a moment, Lieutenant Brad O'Dell from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office will be in our second segment of Inside Douglas County. They interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Working hard to get you the latest information during these tough times here. This is News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 12:49, Lars Larson at 1, Lieutenant Brad O'Dell from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, like a lot of the fire folks, has been working throughout the weekend and very busy today. Lieutenant O'Dell, what are some of the latest updates you can provide folks around the area?
Hi, Kyle. Thanks for having me. So currently, we're still actively engaging with the fire officials and learning more about what has transpired overnight. As you know, we still have the current evacuations that are in place. We've still got level threes, twos, and ones that are currently active, and we can recap those for everybody if it would be helpful. The biggest piece of information that I want to pass along today is that the Red Cross shelter is still active, but they have moved. They were previously at the Oakland Elementary School, but they have now set up a new shelter that is operational at this hour at the Way Church in Sutherland. And that address of that Red Cross shelter is 1352 East Central Avenue in Sutherland.
Good to know. And obviously a change probably with the school year getting started. Things needed to go that route. Real quick, yeah, run through those evacuations for us.
So we do still have the level three go evacuations that are in place for all of the homes that are in the 11,000 block of Hubbard Creek Road down to the intersection of Millwood Drive. And of course, that includes all of the homes in between those two points. Again, that level three means that we encourage people to leave immediately. There is extreme danger in the area, and we ask that they leave and understand that there is significant threats to safety. We also have some level twos that are in place. Those level twos are the B set, and that is for the Hubbard Creek Road from Millwood Drive intersection down to Melqua Road. And then, of course, again, all of the homes in between those two points. And then we have the homes on Briarwood Road are also in that level two, as well as the residences on Lighthouse Road off of Tyee Road. So those are in the level two be set to evacuate. And it means that there's significant danger in that area and people need to be ready to leave at a moment's notice. It's the time to start gathering some things and really informing people and looking for places to relocate. And then finally, we have level ones that we instituted yesterday, and that's the be ready to evacuate. There was a little bit of confusion initially when this came out, and so we've condensed this down for everybody to make it a little bit easier to understand. But the homes that are in that Be Ready to Evacuate Level 1 will start in the 1800 block of Tyee Road, and then that includes all of the homes on Fanchon Lane. So roughly Fanchon Lane intersection at Tyee is the starting point. And then moving all the way up to the 6700 block of Tyee Road. That's where that level one ends. And that comes to an intersection of a BLM road 25-7-15.0. It's also referred to as Rock Creek Road. And again, all of the homes in between those two points. So that is your level one area for that area. We want people to know that there's danger that exists and to stay in tune with what's happening around. Check those official sites for information and have a plan to evacuate.
I know that some people are reluctant to go, especially if they have livestock or other animals. Talk about the help that's available there.
Yeah, so there's a ton of resources available for those who have been affected by this fire. In animals specifically, we're asking for anyone in need to coordinate with our Douglas County Animal Control Division by calling 541-662-9322. There are places that we can assist you in getting your livestock and large animals to, namely the Sutherland Rodeo Grounds has set up an animal evacuation point for large animals there. And then the Douglas County Fairgrounds has opened its doors as well. And then companion animals can be sheltered at Saving Grace Animal Shelter if that's necessary, if someone's going to a place where they can't take them with them. But again, it's really important that our animal control division be involved and coordinated with so that we can provide the appropriate resources. We also have a number of volunteers that have said that they would be willing to assist in the evacuation process of the animals and livestock. So, again, coordinating with animal control, we can get people connected with that.
Well, a lot of concern, and I know that some folks are reluctant to leave these properties. Talk about one of the aspects out there is that a lot of folks have limited access to their property, so that if the fire gets in the wrong place, they really have no way to get out safely.
So a number of these places that have evacuations placed on them or some type of level placed on it is limited in the evacuation route. Some of them have one way in and one way out. They're bordered by forest lands that may have gates that are closed. And so we've really been encouraging people to understand that we don't arbitrarily place these notices or levels on residents. In fact, we want to try to ensure public safety. That's our number one goal, is making sure that everyone is safe, including the firefighters. But we also, there's a daily conversation that takes place between the sheriff's office. The sheriff is involved in that, as well as commissioners. And so we have a conversation with the fire crews on a daily basis. And as soon as it is safe for us to allow residents back in, that's our goal, is to get people back home, because that's where everybody's concerns and important things are. And so we want to do that. But we know that the life safety component of that has to come first.
And I know that you have deputies that are patrolling these areas that folks have evacuated from, to help assure them that, the safety or folks that would like to do harm can't get onto their properties.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sheriff Hanlon has made a commitment to this community that anytime we ask you to leave your home, that you can be assured that we will have deputies that are patrolling your residence to try to prevent theft or other criminal activity from taking place while you're away. And so we have enhanced patrols in these areas. We have deputies that are dedicated to doing nothing but patrolling the evacuation areas and ensuring that we are preventing wrongdoers from getting into those areas. We're also carefully checking IDs and determining who's going in to those areas. Again, that road is closed. So Hubbard Creek Road is closed. We've got a road closure there at Hubbard Creek and Briarwood. And we're carefully monitoring who's in that area, as well as coming in from the backside.
45 seconds left. Anything else you want to mention or reiterate?
You know, I always think it's a good reminder that even though your household may not be affected by the Tyee Ridge Complex fires, this is a great time to sign up for the emergency alerts through our county system here. We have the ability to contact people during an emergency, and being able to be informed is the first step in preparedness. So I really encourage people to sign up for the emergency alert system at www.dcso.com/alerts. And the other thing that I want to mention real quick is there's a lot of folks that reach out and say, well, what about my address? I live over here in this location. How do I know if I'm in an evacuation zone? That's exactly why we have the interactive map. You can go there, type in your address, and see if you're in that evacuation zone. And that's at www.dcso.com/evacuations.
And then remind folks of the new location for the Red Cross shelter.
Yeah, so that Red Cross shelter, again, it has moved. It has now been set up, and it is operational at this hour. And that's at the Way Church in Sutherland, located at 1352 East Central Avenue.
All right, Lieutenant Brad O'Dell from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. We'll let you get back to it. Thanks for being on with us.
Thanks, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.